If you'd like to open to the 20th chapter of Exodus, where we find the Ten Commandments there, we want to look at commandment number 3. The greatest civil and moral law code ever given to any nation is that contained here in the Ten Commandments. Now, there were a lot of other ancient law codes, some very well-known ancient law codes, the Code of Hammurabi in Babylon. But most, if not all, of the ancient law codes that survived from the ancient Near East were designed primarily to protect property. The Ten Commandments, the law code from Jehovah God, was primarily designed to protect people. And that's what made it unique in nature. It was an instruction manual given then, and it's still just as true today, for happy, productive lives, for a life lived in balance between reverence for God and respect for fellow man. Jesus prayed in his model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And Jesus was simply echoing the third commandment when he made that statement, "Hallowed be thy name." Here in Exodus 20, we read from the Old King James Version these words, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The NIV reads, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Well, some people say, what's a big deal about a name? There's nothing really in a name, and that old verse that is known from English origins, "A rose by any other name would smell as sweet." Yet, that's not really the way we feel about names. I don't think so at all. We're all very careful and selective about names that we choose for our children. It's not just any old tag. There are certain names that we avoid naming our children. We don't have many of our children in this congregation named either Jezebel or Judas. We care about our own names. How do you feel when your name is misspelled or mispronounced? How would you like to see your name sprayed up on a water tower as an expletive, or on an overpass, or used as graffiti in a bathroom? No, we're careful about our names. In fact, we have laws in this land that prohibit other people using our names on legal documents. We call that forgery. Our names are very special and they're sacred in their own right. In biblical times, names held great significance. God used names in order to encourage and help people see the plans he had for them. He changed the name of Abram to Abraham. Jesus took the name of Simon and he said, "You shall be known as Peter," as rock. God's name held great significance to his people and indicated his character, who he was. The word Jehovah or Yahweh is the covenant name of God. It's his name of his faithfulness to his people. It was so sacred a name that it was pronounced only once a year by the high priest. And when the scribes were writing and copying the Old Testament, when they came to that sacred name, Yahweh, they would lay their pen down and wash their hands before taking the pen and writing the sacred name and then again washing their hands. Jesus now was a common name in the first century, but it was a common name that was made holy by the one who wore that name. Joseph was told to give Jesus that name in Matthew 1:21. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." It was a name that was so sacred that Peter would speak of it in Acts 4:12 in these terms. He said, "There is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The psalmist, in reflecting on that sacred name of God in the 119th Psalm, said, "Holy and reverend is His name." So we sing the words of the 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. The warning here in Exodus chapter 20, commandment number 10, is not to misuse that holy, sacred, excellent name of God. Well, how would anyone do that? Well, we know some ways. We're familiar with some ways that people misuse God's name, but it's used in vain primarily in two ways, and later on we see in Scripture ways that God's name was misused. One, when vows or oaths are taken in the name of God and then are broken. Those promises are treated lightly. In Leviticus 19:12, we read, "Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." And in Numbers 30, verse 2, "When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said." And how lightly people today perjure themselves when they swear by the name of God, or swear on the Bible that they will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And how lightly couples will pledge in the presence of God, "Until death do us part." In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, the wise man there wrote, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not to fulfill it." But the most common misuse of God's name is that which we're all the most familiar with, because we see it in everyday language. We hear it at work. It's at school. It's in movies. It's on television. Calling on God to damn people or damn things or damn situations, and God's name is attached to this blasphemous intention. What a misuse of God's holy name. It's terrible when God's name is used to pronounce a curse when God's name was meant to be a blessing. And if we're not calling on God to damn something, we often just hear His name being used in a flippant, casual way. And I do not want to be guilty ever of misusing God's name. But by way of illustration, and because you hear it, I want to just reference these, because these are uses of God's name that I believe are clearly forbidden by this third commandment. When someone says, "Oh my God," or "Good God," or "Oh Lord," or "My Lord," or "Jesus," and you hear that constantly, just God's name being thrown out as if it were an expletive. I cringe when I hear God's name being used in such ways, as if it's just a piece of rubbish to be thrown out in the midst of our language. And people say, you know, if challenged by that, well, I don't mean anything bad by saying God. But that's precisely what the problem is. Anytime God's sacred name passes over our lips, it should mean something. It's not something to be just used thoughtlessly. And some people might even say, "Well, I'm not really talking about the Lord or God when I say those words." But what other Lord is there? What other God is there? In Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 5, God bemoans there in that passage, "All day long my name is constantly blasphemed." That could be said today. George Washington despised hearing God's name used in vain. And during the Revolutionary War, he had reports of this and experienced this among his soldiers. And so he sent out a notice for all the officers to read to the revolutionary soldiers. This is what it said. The general is sorry to inform that the foolish and wicked practice of cursing, a vice heretofore little known in the American Army, is growing in fashion. It is hoped that the officers will, by example as well as by influence, endeavor to stop it. We can have little hope of the blessing of heaven if we insult God with our speech. This is a vice so mean and so low that every man of sense and character despises it, signed George Washington. Now, there's a little kicker attached to this third commandment that we don't find in the others. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And then here's the kicker: for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. He says, don't do it, and I'm going to hold you guilty if you do. The seriousness of the matter is seen in an incident that we read just in the next book here in the Bible. Flip over for just a moment to Leviticus chapter 24. There in the next book following Exodus, we read about an incident when someone used God's name in vain, blasphemously. In Leviticus chapter 24, beginning down in verse 10, we read these words. Let me find the passage. Now the son of an Israelite mother and an Egyptian father went out among the Israelites, and a fight broke out in the camp between him and an Israelite. And the son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name of the Lord with a curse. So they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shilemith, the daughter of Debri the Danite. And they put him in custody until the will of the Lord should be made known. Then the Lord told Moses, take the blasphemer outside the camp. All those who heard him are to lay their hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him. Say to the Israelites, if anyone curses his God, he will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death, and the entire assembly must stone him. Whether an alien or a native born, when he blasphemes the name, he must be put to death. And later on in the chapter, we read that that's exactly what happened to this young man. Can you imagine? If that were the law of the land today, we wouldn't have enough cemeteries to bury all those that would be put to death for blaspheming the name of God. Matthew speaks clearly of that in Matthew chapter 12, down in verse 34. He says, Jesus says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. I just hope that as God's people in this area, we will shine as stars, because this is so prevalent in our world. And those who do not use foul language, those who do not take the name of God in vain, and those who have clean speech, they stand out. People notice that. They understand that you're different from the average person by the way you speak. Now, we shouldn't do like the ancient Jews did. They were so careful about the name of Yahweh that they would not even repeat his name. No, God today wants us to use his name. And he wants us to use it freely. And he wants us to use it frequently. We can talk about God. Just do it meaningfully and sincerely and respectfully when we use that holy and sacred name. As in the words of that song, if the name of the Savior is precious to you, oh, will you not tell it today? Jesus was given his name because of the meaning attached to it. The word Jesus means Savior. And Jesus was given that name because that would be his role in this world. There's no other name by which we must be saved. That's why when people enter the kingdom as they go through baptism. They are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because there is significance in a name, especially God's holy, sacred, reverent name. Tonight, if there's anyone that needs to take that step of obedience to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we'll gladly assist you. This past week, we were thrilled when we saw the Christopher's daughter baptized into Christ, and we introduced her at our second service. We'd gladly do that again right now. If there's anyone that needs prayer, we'll gladly pause and pray with you. If you need to come, won't you do that while we stand and while we sing?